This morning I'll be reading 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 11. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 11. I'll be reading from the NIV. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, "I know him," but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them.
Good morning. So thankful you're here this morning. So thankful that you're joining us live stream. We appreciate you. We acknowledge at this time that you could be anywhere or any congregation. You decided to be here with us at Center Chapel. So we want to encourage you to come back tonight at 5 p.m. for our second service. We want you to know that if you are a visitor, you are our honored guest, and we would love to have you to return with us. If you have not filled out one of the visitor cards, please do so at this time so we can reach out to you and make contact. We are going to continue our study of walking in God's light, but before we dive into the study, I just want to acknowledge all of the new births that have taken place in the past few months. We are very excited about having new life in this congregation. I think this is 5, maybe 6 babies born in the past couple of months. So when these families return to the congregation, just know that we will have a lot of newborns here, and we expect them to be and act like newborns. So they're probably going to cry, and we're just going to have to deal with that and accept it and love it, because children are a wonderful blessing from the Lord, and we want to always be reminded that when God gives us these great gifts, it is our responsibility to take care of them and treat them appropriately. All right, turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2, and we're going to use some terminology that may stir up some anxiety with you, because today we are going to take a test. Who enjoys taking tests? No hands are raised, right? Yeah, tests conjure up anxiety. They conjure up fear. You dive into the unknown because you're not sure what's going to be on the test. You're not sure what it's going to cover. It could be extremely difficult. I remember, and I've told this story a couple times, and anytime I talk about a test, this is one of the first things that comes to my mind. We had a teacher in preaching school. Alan's going to remember. Yeah, I already see it. We had a teacher in preaching school, and all of the teachers, and you see this in the school systems as well. If you come up with a test, if you design the test, you're going to have to take the test yourself. That's in any school system, public school system, preaching school. So we had one of the teachers, I'm going to leave his name anonymous for the moment. But he said one day, we walked into class and he said, we have a test today. And I think it was more like a pop quiz or exam. And he said, now, I came up with this. I did all this. I have all the answers. And he said, I even took this test myself. And he said, I missed 3 problems. I want you to think about that for a moment. He came up with the questions. He came up with all the answers. And he missed 3 questions on his own test. How do you think we're going to do as students? So, yeah, as soon as I heard that, I sunk down into my seat. I crawled on the floor and I left the room immediately. So when we talk about test, it conjures up bad feelings. Sam and Juliet are in first grade. They're taking reading tests. They're taking math tests. And Juliet said one day, she woke up that morning and she told Megan, she said, we got to have a good breakfast. And Megan said, "Well, yeah, of course. What? But why are you saying that? That's unusual. Usually they just wake up and they say, you know, cereal or whatever." She said, that morning in particular, she said, we got to have a good breakfast, Mommy. And she said, yeah, but what's going on? And she said, it's test day. She's got a test. So it conjures up all these strange feelings for us because we don't want to fail. None of us want to be failures. In the school system, we have a thing called standardized testing. And most of you are going to be familiar with this. And the standardized testing is any form of test that requires all test takers to answer the same questions. Then, once they have their score from these questions, they're scored in a standard or consistent manner, which makes it possible to compare the relative performance of the individual. So then these tests compare the students based on this standard of knowledge across the country. So you see where you rank, you see where you're at. God has a similar testing system in the Christian system. God has his own standard of testing. So we talked about walking in light. This morning we're going to dive into how do I know that I'm walking in God's light? Well, you have to test yourself. You have to participate in the test exam. God has a test for us. So the first point, verses 3 through 6, let's look at the standard test that God gives us from 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through following. So how can we know, or how do I know if I'm walking in the light? Remember last week what we covered. What is walking in the light? Walking in the light is walking in love. What does it do for us? It blesses us with continual fellowship with God and continual cleansing by the blood of His Son. The fellowship is with God, His Son, and all of God's faithful children. The cleansing is provided by the blood of Jesus. And now He's going to dive into this test. And the standard test asks us a couple questions. Look at verse 3. Now, by this we know that we know Him if we are keeping or keep His commandments. So two questions John's going to ask us is, do you know Jesus? And are you keeping His commands? It's a test of obedience. And now, how do I know that John's supplying test questions for us? John is going to use this same terminology or this same phrasing roughly 40 times in this letter when he says, by this we know. That's our test question. That's how we know that John is supplying an exam for us. And 2 Corinthians 12 tells us, Paul says, test yourselves, examine yourselves, see if whether or not you're in the faith. See if Jesus Christ is in you or not. John says, do you know Jesus? Test yourself. Take the exam. And so the test here of obedience proves that you have come to know Jesus or that you do not know Jesus. John is going to say, just having the correct information, just having the words on paper is not going to be enough for us. It's going to take obedience, keeping His commands. We have to go a step further because just claiming that we know Him but not keeping His commands fails the test. Look at verse 4. He who says, I know Him, so there's that verbal profession or verbal claim, and look at the rest, and does not keep His commandments. John says, that fails the test. This person's a liar and the truth is not in him. This contradicts verse 3. So John is going to be dealing with lifestyles. Does your life consist of you continually keeping God's commands? So again, it's more than just having the right information. It's going to take us having the right information, then performing what that right information provides us with. Doing the word, being hearers, not being hearers only, but doers of the word. So verse 4, these individuals who claim to know Jesus, that's the test. Do you know Jesus? Oh yes, I know Jesus. But you're not following up with keeping His commands? Fail. That doesn't pass. These are liars. These are counterfeits. These are fakes. Their life contradicts the word, and thus it fails the test. And these counterfeits think that they can just lie on God's test and disregard his grading system and bypass the test or the exam. You can't. You can't just say, I know Jesus, and then have yourself contradict what the word reveals, the light reveals to us, and walk in darkness. That's a lie. And John says that's going to fail. That fails immediately. So these students in God's classroom, because we're going to look at this as a classroom setting in this text, and I think another good illustration that we've heard before, a courtroom setting is a good text for this, but we're going to use classroom. So in God's classroom, these particular students in verse 4 are not paying attention. They're not seeking assistance or aid. They're just saying, yeah, I know him. But then they failed the test. And they go, I don't care. I don't care about being a good student in God's classroom. I don't care about performance. I don't care about doing good. They fail. So John is going to ask us in our context of our theme here, are you walking in the light? You say, yeah, I'm walking in the light. Well, how do you know? Unless you take the test, unless you take the exam. And if you test yourself, then you're walking in the light, you hear and you participate in what the light reveals to you. The failures in verse 4 again, their conduct contradicts the profession, and so they choose to just not participate. John is going to elaborate on this further in this chapter. He's going to say, if they were of us, they would have remained. They would have stayed with us, but they weren't of us, and so they left. They were non-participants. But if you went and asked these individuals, do you know Jesus? Say, yeah, I know Jesus, but you're not keeping his commands. You're not fellowshipping with God's people, nor are you fellowshipping with God. Thus, you cannot have the continual cleansing that comes from his Son. Again, if they were of us, they would have remained. But they were not of us, so they left. Counterfeits, liars. The community asked them, do you know Jesus? Absolutely, I know Jesus. Let's look at verse 5. But whoever keeps his word, let's pause here for a moment. Let's look at this word keeps for just a brief second. This word keeps means that you guard. It's safekeeping. You keep it close to you. So you're guarding the word. And he's going to go on to say, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. So John's going to give us some insight into what he means by testing ourselves. Do we know him? Well, do you know the love of God? Are you manifesting the love of God in your life? Well, if you're manifesting the love of God in your life, then you are keeping, guarding close to your heart, God's word. So the love of God is not expressed in this sentimental language of mystical experience, but in guarding the word close to your heart. And so one proof that we can know that we're guarding the word close to our heart is loyalty. How loyal are you to God? If you're keeping, if you're guarding his commandments, and you're living in light of the love of God that he has revealed to us, then you're loyal to him. God comes first in your life. He is priority. Don't turn here, but I'm going to read this section of scripture, which we're very familiar with, from Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24. And I want you to see if there's some similar language that John's going to use that Matthew used before. Matthew 6, 19 through 24. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp or light of the body is the eye. If the eye, therefore, is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If, therefore, the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Verse 24, you cannot serve God in riches. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Loyalty. John says, if you are a genuine, true Christian, then you know Jesus. And if you know Jesus, then you're obeying him out of love. You're walking in his light. That's how you and I can know that we're walking in the light. truly the love of God has been perfected in him. Look at the rest of verse 5. By this next test question, so he's given us one in verse 3, how do you know that you know Jesus? Then he moves on to say, how do you know that you're in Jesus? So how do you know that you know him personally? How do you know that you have a relationship and connection with the Christ? Now, how do you know that you're living in the Christ, that your seed is from him, that your life is in Jesus? How do you know that? In verse 5, by this we know that we're in him. Verse 6, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. So John is going to give us the next example of the test question here. How do you know that you're in Jesus? Well, you're walking as Jesus walked. This immediately reminds me of John 15. Are you connected to the vine? Are you a branch who's connected to Jesus? And he continues with this language in verses 1 through 6. Abide in him, live in him, remain in him. A natural outgrowth of knowing Jesus is living in Jesus. Your life, or his life, becomes our life. Look at Colossians chapter 3 for a moment. Colossians chapter 3, we're going to read the first few verses from Colossians 3. And notice what John says here, or what Paul says here in this letter. Since then you were raised with Christ, there's that connection that you have. Seek those things that are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. And look what John said, or Paul says next. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, if you're abiding in Jesus, Christ is your life. We cannot claim to live in Jesus unless we behave like him. So this abiding or remaining in him is a lifestyle. John's been continually using these present tense verbs to say, if you have continual fellowship with him, if you have continual cleansing, then you are continually living in Jesus and you continually know him. So that's our second test question. The first one, do you know Jesus? Are you keeping his commands? The second one, are you living like Jesus? Because if you are, then Jesus is in you. So let's take a quick bonus material. Yeah, verses 7 through 11. I had this one, a quick test exam, a pop quiz for us. So with verses 3 through 6, how well do you know Jesus? Are you deeply connected to him in obedience? Are you in him? These are the test questions, and the answer lies within you as to whether or not you pass the test. Today, I just want to encourage you, take the test. Find the answers. Don't be like those ones who were making the false claims who were non-participants. They were bad students. They weren't paying attention. Take the test. And now on to our bonus material, verses 7 through 11. Verses 7 through 11, brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. So John's going to take the two questions that he asked from verses 3 through 6. Do you know him and are you living in him? And he's going to expound upon those points. Because if you know him and you're living like him, then you are walking like Jesus. And how did Jesus walk according to Ephesians 5, 1 and 2? He walked in love. Be imitators of God as dear children. Walk in love just as he walked. Who gave himself a sweet-smelling sacrifice to God. He lived a life of sacrificial love, agape love. So John says in these bonus material questions, are you walking in love? Are you demonstrating love in your life? Now, when you come to a test in your past when you were in school, you had a series of questions that you had to follow and answer. Then when you got to the bonus material, that should be the easy stuff, right? Because the bonus material was there just to cover all the stuff that you already knew, And it was to help ensure that you were going to receive a passing grade. So if you got 100% on the test, you really didn't need the bonus material. But if you made mistakes and you had a few errors, the bonus material was there to give you, to catapult you to passing on the exam. So the bonus material should be easy. And John is going to say to us, you should have already answered these questions. You should have already covered this. And the material is going to be about love, which you already mentioned from verse 5. So the bonus material is about love. So John's going to condense all of God's commandments down to one. And you go, well, is that right? Absolutely, it's right. Jesus did the same thing. He said on the command to love God and love thy neighbor hangs all of the law and prophets. Jesus took all the commands of God and he condensed them down to a couple, basically to one, love. John's going to do the same thing for us. And when you read verses 7 and 8, what should immediately come to your mind is John 13, 34 and John 15, 12. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. How? As I have loved you, John 13, 34. That's that new standard. Jesus takes it up a notch. Love one another as I have loved you. John 15, 12. No greater love has anyone for his brethren than he lay down his life for his friends. So a person, the greatest demonstration of love that you can give to someone is by demonstrating a life of sacrifice, giving yourself for the benefit of someone else. So John is going to say, I write no new commandment to you. So love in and of itself is nothing new. I mean, we have this in the Old Testament. We have the scriptures filled with this. So it's not new in its content. So how is it new then? Well, it's new in the recent example of the life of Christ. Before Jesus came on the scene and showed us the true light, we had inferior examples of love from the Old Testament. We had examples, but they were inferior to the example that Jesus gave us on the cross. At the cross, Jesus demonstrated for us love and obedience. He combined the two. He says, this is what true love looks like. And this is how you demonstrate it. And so this new example that Jesus gave us created a new fellowship in which obeying his commands were possible. Now we have the answers to the test. Now we can pass the exam with flying colors. Jesus gave us all the answers. And John's going to say in verse 8, the true light is now shining. So the darkness is the darkness of sin. It's the darkness of this present world. According to 1 John 2:17, the world is passing away and the lust thereof. The true light, Jesus, is already shining. So darkness is on the run and it cannot outrun the true light. In fact, the darkness is already departing because Jesus has come on the scene. Darkness is sin. And darkness is what the failed students were walking in. They weren't walking in the light. And John says, we're not failing. We're participants. We're taking the test. How do we know we know him? How do we know that we're living in him? We're following his commands. What are his commands? Love. That's the true light. How do you know that you're truly loving others? You look to Jesus. You replicate. You imitate. You follow him step for step. How did Jesus talk? How did Jesus respond? How did Jesus think? Well, I want to try to do that. Verse 9. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness. So another bonus material test question. What is light and what is darkness? What are they associated with? John now gives us insight into what light and darkness are associated with. Light is associated with love. Darkness is associated with hate. How did Jesus walk? He walked in love. He walked in the light. Did Jesus walk in the dark? Did he walk with hate? No. So that's how you can know that you're following Jesus when you walk in the light, because you're walking in love. And this means that you abide in him. You have fellowship. You have the cleansing of sins. If one professes to walk in the light but hates his brother, then this fails the test. This contradicts how Jesus walked. Jesus did not walk in hate, and he did not walk in the darkness. Verses 10 and 11. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his mind. Hate fails the test of love. Love is passing the test, and there is no gray area here. There's either you're passing or you're failing. You're either light or darkness. You're either loving or you're hating. There's no in-between. There are no strobe light Christians. Who's been around a strobe light before? Now, don't talk about the disco days. We're not getting into none of that. But for some reason, and I don't know how this occurred, and we'll try to wrap this up. I'm running out of time here. And I'm going to make this story short. So when I was a kid, I had a birthday party at the house, and we had a basement, and we had a playroom area, and they were connected by a doorway. And so we had set up, I don't know where my brother got this, but he got a strobe light somehow. I think he got it from one of his friends. He was always bringing home really strange items. I looked at them as gifts. Sometimes he would bring home like a Sega Genesis or a Nintendo. I was like, fantastic. He brought home a strobe light. So we set up the strobe light in the playroom area, and we turned out the lights. If you've ever been around a strobe light, it distorts your vision. It distorts your perception of reality. And we decided to play games. So we were going to throw basketball to each other in the strobe light. Don't do that. People get hurt. Nose can get bloodied. And moms can get called, and they can come pick up their kids. It was not good for us. So we played that game just a little bit. But God is saying here, we don't have strobe-like Christians. We don't have people whose lights are flickering. You're either one or the other. You're either passing or failing, light or darkness. And hate is what distorts our perception of reality. The root of hatred is hate. But on the other hand, love thinks clearly, it judges correctly, and it gives us a balanced outlook in life. So let's take our next test exam. How well are you doing at displaying God's love? Are you willing to give up your life for your brethren? Are you willing to sacrifice for the benefit of others? Are you willing to give up your pride and your lust and your pleasures and your desires for someone else's good? Jesus did. See, when we come to these test exams, how well do you know Jesus? Are you living in Jesus? How well are you displaying agape love? Don't you feel like you make a lot of mistakes? Don't you feel like you get these wrong a lot of the times? See, God doesn't expect us to be perfect test takers. He knows we're going to fail. He knows we're imperfect. He knows we need assistance. We need help. So he sent Jesus. This is the only time you're going to hear a preacher tell you that copying someone else's test exam answers is a good thing. So don't take that home. Kids, don't apply that in your life. Take your own test. But when it comes to the test of love, the standard test that God gives us, we must copy Jesus. Why should we copy Jesus? Look at verses 1 and 2 of 1 John 2. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. If anyone sins, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. What does righteousness mean? It means Jesus is always right. Jesus has never come up with a wrong answer. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus is the one who authorized, he originated, he came up with the test itself, and he took the test, and he got all the answers right with flying colors. He didn't miss one question to God's test. How? Because he wrote it, he designed it. He took his own test according to Hebrews 4:15. But was in all points tested as we are, yet he succeeded. He was without sin. He never got a wrong answer. Jesus' test scores were perfect. John goes on to say, verse 2, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Jesus took the same test that we took. Hebrews 2:17. In all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. What God sees in Jesus, and this word for propitiation can carry with it the idea of covering. So when God looks at our test, when he looks at our exam, what he actually sees is Jesus' answers. Because Jesus has covered all of our mistakes with his blood. all of our heirs. He is the propitiation of our mistakes. In verse 18, he goes on to say, "For in that he himself has suffered being tested, he is able to aid those who are tested." Verse 1, John tells us that Jesus, he's righteous, he is the propitiation, he's our advocate. A teacher's aide in the classroom is someone who helps educate the students. A teacher's aides are often responsible for helping the students with their work and helping them to maintain a clean and organized classroom. Jesus is our aide. He's our teacher, and he's our teacher's aide. He's our advocate. He's the one who stands by our sides to help us. Jesus knows our frailties. He knows that we're going to make mistakes. That's why he came to earth, suffered and died for us, went through and experienced the same temptations, but succeeded. He didn't fail where we did. So Jesus is more than qualified to stand in the gap between God and us. He is our advocate who helps us on our test. Become an A student. If you know your advocate, you know he's righteous, he's never wrong. You know that he is the propitiation. He can cover all of your mistakes. All we have to do is copy his answers. Jesus can help us finish the test. He can provide us with a passing grade. So this morning, would you like to start passing the test? Be baptized. Well, why should someone be baptized? Jesus was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. Baptism then is the right answer that Jesus gave us. Start there. Well, maybe you've been baptized, and maybe you've been living a life that contradicts the life of Jesus after his baptism. What does he ask us to do? Repent. See, what made these false teachers or these individuals who were making false claims, what made them walk into the darkness is they were not seeking God's assistance. Repentance demands that we continually seek the assistance from Jesus, our advocate. And if you know him and you're living in him and you're loving like him, then you know you're going to make mistakes. You know you're going to fail. We need his help. Repentance gets us back on track. Turn to your advocate. Let him help you. Let him help you pass the test. Don't leave here failing. Leave here with a passing grade. Become an A student. Your opportunity is here now as we stand and we